Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 5, we were talking about things that can hinder our prayer. Let's end the week on that thought. I remember a group with a ministry, they needed a car. The car they had was now, it had so many miles on it, and it could barely run. I mean, I'm talking about in the 60s. And, you know, it was sputter and all that, and it was in the shop, and it got to the point where they needed another car, that because they were picking up kids, taking them to ministry in it and all that. They just had using that car for ministry, and finally, they were having a prayer, and boy, all these adults were praying around the circle and asking God to please give us another car. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be this, be that, you know, just as long as it runs, you know. And they were describing just something that might have been 10 years old but still able to run, you know. And there was a girl there, a young girl, I think it was a teenage girl there praying, and I think about 13 or 14, I was told the story. I may not have that correct, but she said, Lord, don't listen to these people. Can you imagine what those adults thought when she started praying that way? Lord, this is your ministry. This is your work. Give us a new car. We need a new car for this ministry that'll run, that can be dependable. And she prayed that way. Well, do you know what? That's what God gave them. He heard the prayer of that child, and thank God, instead of those people praying, asking for the worst for God's ministry, that girl's asking for the best for God's ministry. God heard that prayer. Now, she wasn't going to consume that car upon her lust. She wasn't going to even be driving the car. Now, she might get to ride in the car and participate in ministry, but it wasn't going to be her car. She didn't even have a license. So I'm saying is that, folk, learn to pray according to His will. Now, you can know and believe right doctrine, yet not have your prayer answered even when you pray rightly. Now, again, when I say not your prayer answered, it may not be the answer you want. Prayer can be hindered. You realize the Bible tells us of things that will hinder prayer. For an example, an unharmonious relationship between a husband and wife will hinder prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, it says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation, that is, the way of life and their living, of the wives, the sweet attitude, the sweet spirit. Now, some say, well, I'd be in subjection if he was the kind of man he was supposed to be spiritually. That's not what the Bible just said here. Just said the opposite of that. He said, if any obey not, if you're married to a guy that does not obey the word, he says you still should be submitted to him, except in sin. You don't submit to do sin. You don't submit to go out and do drugs, to get drunk or anything like that, or wife swap and things of that nature. He says, well, they behold your chaste conversation, your pure, your holy way of living, coupled with the fear, that is the fear of God, whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. In other words, ladies, to put it as Proverbs says it, you're not out there in the apparel, the attire of a harlot. You're not out there trying to emphasize parts of your bodies that stirs the lust of men. I mean, some people have their clothes on. Some of these ladies wear clothes that shows the entire outline of their body. And That's the attire of a harlot. It's even worse when there's young ladies doing that and their husbands or their parents let these teenage daughters go out that way. But let's get right back to the word, okay? Whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of hair or the wearing of gold, putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a quiet, of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great pride. Now, ladies, since that is addressed to you, I'm telling you what the Bible said. God said, in His sight. Now, you say, I'm a Christian, I love God, and I want to be what God wants me to be. Well, He said, and this is speaking of a wife who's married to a man that obeys not the gospel, but says there, the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. What does that mean when it says of great price? That means when you get to heaven, you'll have a reward that is just so tremendous. I wonder how many ladies will be saved so as by fire because they had a rebellious spirit. Even though they were saved, although they weren't in all this immorality stuff and some other things, but they did not have that meek and quiet spirit. They were not submitted, as the Bible said. Now notice verse 5 there, 1 Peter 3 says, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. Must be very important to God that He uses that kind of language. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, let me just stop there for a moment and say this. It's kind of funny, but it's not funny, but you got a domineering Marine sergeant type husband that thinks he's a DI in the Marines or something like that. And just the term jarhead, he's become a jarhead, okay? And but he's like that. You're a Christian, but you keep that meek and quiet spirit, and you adorn yourself that way before God. You know what the Bible says? God says that's something of great price. Just think, that husband may be saved so as by fire. In heaven, you're not married or given in marriage, okay? You're ruling and reigning above him. And that guy that treated you that way for so long, man, you better think about this. That you treated that right wrongly. Now just think, she may be ruling and reigning over you throughout all eternity. Okay? He said, well, wait a minute, preacher, don't go there. Well, you better go there, men, and think about it, because the very next verse, verse 7, says it this way. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, see, your prayers can be hindered just simply because of your relationship in your marriage. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So again, if I would think that you would want to have God's mercy on you, and that you'd like for Him to hear your prayer. Well, that's confessing and forsaking sins, even as these things are, of the wives not being submitted, of men not honoring their wives as a weaker vessel. Now, men, that's your responsibility. Ladies, your responsibility is to be in subjection, obedient. Even if he doesn't honor, you know, you're not the one that determines whether he's honoring you the way he should or not. It's God. And you can't do anything to your husband that is anywhere near what God can do. Okay? So, you do what you're supposed to do. Most of the marriage counseling I do ends up that way because each are looking at the other. Well, they don't do this. Well, they do that. Listen, here's the best counsel I can give you from the Word of God. You don't enter a marriage 50-50, you enter it 100-100. I'm 100% committed to this, whether they do their part or not. Okay. And so you concentrate on doing your part, whether they do their part or not. Now, honoring them, talking to them, treating them rightly, opening that door for them. They're the weaker vessel. You've got to be the strong shoulders. You've got to be the one that says yes and no. You've got to be the one, okay, especially as it deals with your kids. You've got to be the one that says yes and no. Now, the wife supports that. Selfishness is the next thing will also hinder prayer, not only an unharmonious relationship, but secondly, selfishness will hinder prayer. James 4:3 lets us know that. If you read there in James chapter 4:3, you'll find that that is exactly right. If you say, you're doing it for God, but the bottom line is, it's your thing. And now you've found a Bible verse to try to justify. And so he says in James 4:3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now, I gave you earlier the illustration of the girl that prayed for a new car for the ministry. Why get another old broken down car? And that wasn't to consume upon her lust. It was to make the ministry more efficient. Okay? So again, she didn't do it that way. Some say, well, boy, if the Lord would just give me $1 million, I would give him 10%. Do you get 10% of what you have now? You see, if you don't get 10% of what you have now, how can he trust you with $1 million? So, again, it just goes back to simple, doing God's will, God's way, and God's timing. All right? A third thing about that hinders our prayers, an unforgiving spirit will hinder prayer. You'll never forgive anyone more than God has forgiven you. Now, we each have done worse sins against God than anyone has ever done to us. Now, Jesus, in several places, Matthew 6:15, Matthew 18:35, Mark 11:25 and 26. Let me just look at that one. Mark 11:25 and 26. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You see, I want to make some statements on this. On the one hand, confession should be in full to those that you have wronged. It's not just enough to get by. You wronged somebody, they need to know everything you did wrong. If you have the attitude, well, I'm just going to tell them enough that they should just be happy with that and that's enough, then whatever you tell them is all they can forgive you of. If there are things that in information you did not give them, that's things that go unforgiven.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says, I will climb.